The past few weeks, we've been talking in Ecclesiastes about the meaning of life and purpose in life. And last week, Dave talked about two visions in life. And hopefully what you carried away from that was there's two visions. There's an earthly vision and a heavenward vision, or a godly vision and an ungodly vision. To think about that in what you pursue is what we're going to talk about today. The pursuits that we have, the things that we engage in, the things that we use as entertainment or distraction or whatever. But as we read Ecclesiastes all of the chasing after things that Solomon does in Ecclesiastes, he comes to the end of it and basically says, you know, this was a waste of time. It wasn't anything unless you serve God, unless you follow his commands, unless you do what's good. Now, the definition of pursuit, which is what we're talking about today, is chasing after, which we see that Solomon in Ecclesiastes did a lot of. The other definition of pursuit is an activity, a hobby, a pastime, a diversion, a recreation, a relaxation, an amusement, an occupation, a trade, a vocation, a business, work, job, employment. That pretty much covers all of life, doesn't it? It pretty much covers all the bases. If you want to use the word pursuit, it's what you're engaged in, what you're doing. Now, as Christians, our task, our job, our responsibility, if you will, is to make sure that when we are engaged in these types of things, that we are making sure they are godly, not ungodly. Making sure that they lead to life and not death, because that is what we need to do. The problem we have a lot of times is staying focused on that. Things that can be engaged in that sometimes you can lose focus. It's easy to do. It's something that comes out of nowhere and gets you. I in one of the hobbies, pursuits, pastimes, relaxation, amusement that I used to engage in was scuba diving. And on one particular dive, we were going to go for scallops. I don't know if many of you have eaten scallops, but it's the little round mussel that holds the two pieces of the clam or the scallop shell together. In order to do this, we just took two small sacks, mesh sacks, and two little, like frosting spreaders. They're a little thin, flimsy blade, like a butter knife almost. You sneak up on a scallop, because it's not going to run away from you. You put the blade in there, and you scoop out that scallop and come back with this tasty morsel. Didn't take a knife. Didn't take a spear gun. Didn't take anything. We settled to the bottom, about 50 feet, and lo and behold, there in front of us is a giant ling cod. Ling cod's tasty. It's good to eat. We're looking at each other, my friend and I. We got two butter knives and two little sacks. Well, in the past we'd seen fellows, if you open up a bag in front of a ling cod, it likes little holes and cracks and everything. It'll swim right in. You just spook it and it'll go in. You can just sack that thing up and take it. I got a sack that's about this big. We're like, well, kind of shrug and go, it's worth a shot. I'll get the tail, you get the head, I'll try and get it in this little bag. We figure if we got its head in there, we could at least get it. We're not equipped for this, but let's go. We go. I got the tail, he's got the head, trying to get it in the sack. Well, it wriggles away from us, but then it lights again. We're like, well, because a ling cod isn't afraid of you. It's an ambush predator. It thinks it's perfectly camouflaged. It's not really got anything that's after it. So it looked at us as an annoyance. We chase it. We run after it. We're going. We catch up to it again. We play the same game. We wrestle with it. It goes away from us again. We continue to chase it. There's a funny thing that happens at about 100 feet. The light is still there, but everything turns gray because it can't get down and light thing. The spectrum of light can't get there. As we're in pursuit of this fish, it dawns on us that we've descended to a depth that we hadn't intended to go. We're now at 100 feet, looking at each other going, what are we doing? You know, why are we trying to get this little, big, just giant fish into a tiny bag? And we've totally abandoned our what we were doing in the first place. And now we've gone to a place where we've sucked up a lot of air, and we haven't even done what we came to do. So as we come up out of this depth, we then encounter the largest scallop field that we've seen in a long time that we've, in our haste, swam right by because we didn't even see it looking for this fish. I tell that silly story to say, that's often where we get ourselves. We go out with the best intentions, and something catches our eye, and we end up in a place we didn't intend to be, that isn't potentially dangerous to us, that we're now in this dark place and we have no sense and no equipment to be there, didn't come equipped to be there, and here we are in this place where we didn't start out to go to. When you see all the things that Solomon tried to engage himself in, to try to say what could fulfill him, he was distracted by many things. He was diverted. One thing didn't work, and he tried another thing, and tried another thing. But without God, we don't have anything. Without God, if I do all these great things, and Christ isn't in my life, and you get to the end of the race, and you go, well, God, I did a lot of great stuff. And he says, did any of it include me? And your answer isn't yes. That's a sorrowful place to be. The thing is, when we engage in our activities, our pursuits, we need to make sure that it falls into the godly category, not the ungodly category. Because we have to work. We have to live. We have to engage in certain things in this life. You know, the New Testament writers write about how we should do that. In 1 Colossians, There's the third book of Colossians. How about that? The third book of Colossians. Let's go there. Take out your Bible and let's turn over there. Eddie talked in class about an electronic burst taking out all of our electronics. Well, this one won't go dead. You can always get it out and open it and read it wherever you're at. Colossians 3:23-24. And this here is something else too, because he's talking right here to people that are slaves. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will repay for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So in my pursuit, whatever that may be, and here again he's talking to slaves, some of us might feel that way when we go to work every day, but it's not to the plight of the people he's talking here. And he says, you know what? You need to do your services to God. not be distracted, not say, oh, this is a terrible thing, I hate everything. It's like, I want to do this work as if I'm working for God. I'm pursuing this as if I'm pursuing it for God. If we look over in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, right next door. They give us a little more information about how we're supposed to pursue these things. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. To stay busy, to do work, to find something to do, to keep going, is a great thing to have. Something that keeps you occupied and keeps you employed is a gift from God. Sometimes we squawk about work, but it is a gift. But again, we got to remember, as we are in that pursuit of employment, that it is God we are trying to please. That our vision needs to be towards heaven, not towards pleasing some boss. Rick Prado has a great line when he's talking about work, and he'll tell it to you, the whole story. I'll butcher it up, but they have asked him, how do you work for this guy? And he says, oh, it's easy. I'm not working for him. I'm working for God. That's a great attitude. That's a great way to look at it. That's a great thing to show the people around you when you're like, you work for a miserable boss. And you're like, well, yeah. And I've stolen it and used it many times since Rick told me that. So it's a good one. Finally, there's in 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 12. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. To live as an example of Christ amongst those you work with is a responsibility. It's not to bring glory to you, it's to bring glory to God. To whatever you're pursuing, whether it be fun or work or relaxation, it needs to be for God. It needs to be so that those around you see what you're doing and glorify God. To be in that pursuit. And if we look to the end of Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, the 13th and 14th verse. Now all has been heard, and here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. So in Solomon's chasing, he finally determined what it is that we need to do. We need to keep God's commandments and fear God, because fear is the beginning of understanding. And we need to know that our actions here on this place for this short amount of time have eternal consequences, not only for us, but those who see us, those who watch us, those who come into contact with us, because the job is to take as many people to heaven with us as we can. That's our job. We need to do that. We have to stay focused. We can't lose sight of what we're here to do. We have to be engaged in the process every day and wake up and put on Christ and go out into the world. Because if we don't, we're not doing our job. If we don't, someone might not hear the word. If we don't, we're doing a detriment to ourselves. We're not showing Christ. If you haven't guessed yet, you're all going to make it to lunch on time. If there's anybody here today who would like to put on Christ, who needs prayers from this congregation, or needs anything, if you'd come forward as we together stand and sing.